by the force itself are required and have been adopted. I shall take the position that my distinguished brother at the bar just took in making a personal comment, Your Honor. It's indulged to that extent. I have had occasion over at least 16 or 18 states, maybe more, and over 42 years of, from time to time, having a situation arise where a client perhaps had to execute mortgages or authorize his brother-in-law or somewhere else confer with somebody over the funds for the possibility of raising funds in defense of that individual. In fact, it occurred almost weekly in the practice of all criminal lawyers, Your Honor, in one phase or another. And I have never at any time refused access to any person when I, as attorney, stated to the person having the client or potential client in custody, when I stated that it was, in my opinion, necessary for the proper preservation of his liberty or preparation to wit the appointment of counsel. In this case, only because of the notorious nature and the unusual facts and the maximum security features that the various executive officers of this court feel necessary, why it, and only now have I ever had to bring it to a judge's attention. But just we address our request not to any legal precedent, but just to common justice, Your Honor, just to a man who had valuable rights at stake and responsive to the first law of nature, preservation, self-preservation. That's the law to which we direct our request and respectfully ask the court to permit. And in the permission, we request that the interview be permitted without the handicap of the mechanical contrivance, what we call a speaking cue, but it's too kind to the facts for it to be called a speaking cue because a speaking cue suggests that the carrying of the human voice to the oven, whereas the actual mechanical contrivances in all maximum security sections of any jail is a network of small wires so tiny and so thick, Your Honor, that it is impossible for our conversation to be carried on and thoroughly understood. My own situation is such that I cannot understand. I'm afflicted almost totally to death in my right ear and impaired to some extent in my left. So that in jails where, not in this county, I haven't been able to extend a gratuity to anyone for any purpose, even for the taking of an acknowledgement to a paper that the law permits. They won't even let me pay that. But my own practice is always in jails where they'll let me pay $20 or $30 to have a man brought in and sat down rather than have to go through the queue. I cannot. Now, this man needs advice on every phase and feature of his conversation. He needs his attorney's advice, and I'm the attorney. And I have to hear what's going on, and I have to be in the presence of these three people. We don't ask that this interview take place anywhere except in the maximum security of the cell itself. And there is, could not be, actually, Mr. Hewitt is a quiet, subdued, inoffensive little man, Your Honor. He would not hurt anybody and couldn't if he wanted. And they permit me, the sheriff, and we have a most courteous sheriff, and all of his captains, all of his officers are of the same stance. It's just a matter, Your Honor, of attempting to work out. We're not asking that this be done day after day, but it would require several hours, perhaps 4 hours, of a three-way conversation. And we would make it at the convenience of the sheriff whenever his men are not otherwise engaged. I cannot believe that anyone. Now, this isn't a contract, Your Honor, that I hold up. either exist or don't exist. But we have a right, and we think we have, to know what we may expect. And we cannot do it without this full access and free discussion. That's what even just a mere writing of a contract and taking it in, if that's not what the people intended, Your Honor, no, it's not a contract. It breeds more misunderstanding than it's understanding. And before any such contract is explained or a new one entered into, there ought to be a thorough explanation line by line. And that's how we avoid misunderstandings and avoid lawsuits. And we are at the point now of attempting to avoid that. The very basis for a contract is to avoid misunderstandings. And I don't know, perhaps I am to some extent responsible for the situation that has arisen here, but Your Honor has not condemned me for doing it. And I would like to add my prayer to that of the defendant and ask that the court, the sheriff has indicated, of course he'd have to anyhow, but he has indicated that we might pass this request on to the court. And of course he'll be guided by the direction of the judge.
Mr. Foreman, I think we've got to take care of a technical technicality form here before we get to the state. This is addressed to me, and it's signed only by James Earl Ray. We don't have a lawyer signing this, and we're getting in an area that we had with Mr. Bevel. Mr. Ray is not a lawyer, and I think one of you gentlemen should sign it, at least for this reason.
The request is...
It should be signed by a lawyer.
Was of such a developing nature in the city that the appellate court said that case could not have been tried anywhere in the United States and at that time, and that it should have been postponed. I think it says a year or 2 years, so they are not, this man is not, as the motion said, at liberty. He's in jail. Point he's conveying, the way I interpret his statement there, was that he was concerned about the publicity that had already emanated as a result of the incarceration of this man here. Further in that record, if the court pleases, at that time, counsel who is not in this case at this time, Mr. Haynes, was present in court. Counsel for the defendant made this statement to the court. He said, the other gentleman is exactly the type of lawyer that I am. He is a front chair lawyer, referring to Mr. Haynes, when Mr. Haynes was here. Now, Your Honor, I'm going back again on not letting my memory guide me, but the record of this call is on December the 18th, 1968, when counsel for the defendant made the statement and these statements to the court. They please the court, they had no money whatever available in this case for either investigating expenses or attorney's fees. They had done that. There had been numerous offers by publications, magazines, and writers to underwrite the fees of this defendant, but most of them have a hook in them. I am not willing at this late period of my life to prostitute principles that I hold dear in defense of a thorough case to a pandering press. And it may be that there will be an arrangement on which these can be available, but they did not induce me to come into this case, and they will not keep me in this case. I intend to stay in this case as long as Your Honor will permit me to do so and without compensation. If compensation should become available, it will do so without my committing any of what I consider a lawyer's responsibility of a client's right. Now, Your Honor, counsel then went on to say, with reference to the argument to distinguish Assistant Attorney General, that in the eyes of the news media, there is financial value to this case, that's why I'm in the case, Your Honor, absolutely. I don't think the defendant should be tried in the news media, and I think this man was being tried in the news media, and I think he would have been tried in the news media. And except for my coming in at the time, it had been 2 weeks before, a month before, I wouldn't have been in this case at all. But it was only 2 days before he was about to go to trial, and he was about to go to trial, Your Honor, not because this case was ready for trial, but to meet a public case. And I stepped in because it was my responsibility to do so. I'm not claiming any glory. Any of you would have done it. Any lawyer that at least was raised in the school that I was raised in for the same.